good it is to come together to worship the Almighty God in heaven. Amidst the conflicts and battles and struggles and strife, we sing these songs of encouragement and admonition. It means so much to the Christian and the Christian life. Appreciate Brother Carroll leading those beautiful songs this morning. Bravely on your journey pursue. Brother, don't give up. Got it all ahead. Don't give up. Look away from the cross. That's where it started. That's where it was purchased. That's where it was made possible. That's where we found the love of God displayed. Look away from the cross to that glittering crown that's awaiting in heaven for you. We appreciate your presence this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, we appreciate your being here and invite you back to each and every service. The Churches of Christ, the church here in Knollwood, has no desire but to follow the Bible and to do Bible things the Bible way and call Bible things by their Bible names. Have no creed but Christ. Have no creed but Christ. And anything in which we might seem peculiar, it would be peculiar. It may be peculiar because we differ from churches you may know about, but it's not because we desire or want to do something different from somebody else, but that peculiarity comes about by endeavoring to follow Jesus Christ according to the Bible. Wherein that we do things like others do, it's not because we're like them in everything, but because they agree upon the same Bible things that we do. Unity is brought about by the Bible and doing Bible things the Bible way. Our lesson this morning, we have it here on the blackboard. I do that, so if you don't know just exactly what I talked about, you can look up there and see. The persuasive power of suffering love. A little different type of sermon, probably, than you've heard me preach in the past. There's various types of script sermons that can be preached. There's expository type preaching. Just take the Bible and it's an exposition. Let the Bible teach what it teaches. You don't hear much like that anymore. That's the most effective teaching there is. But this morning, the persuasive power of suffering love. Number of scriptures we'll be endeavoring to read. Try to cover them as quickly as possible. 1 Corinthians 1, 19, 25. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Love is the greatest single force in the world. John 3:16, many call it the golden text of the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, many times called the love chapter of the Bible, faith, hope, and charity. Always saying that I had tongues. Somebody said, boy, this would really be a Christian. I could speak with the tongues of men and angels, but having love, I'm just like a clanging brass. Just a big sound. If I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, knowledge, and have faith, so that I could move mountains, wouldn't that be a real big man of God? He said, if I had all that and didn't have love, I am nothing. Nothing. That's pretty big. Oh, but if I was had the money and I could really get out and do good to people, I could spread it around. I could bestow my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned. Wouldn't that be something? But if I didn't have love, it wouldn't profit me a bit. Would profit me nothing. And he tells what love is and finishes up in the last verse of the chapter. Now abides faith, hope, love. What's the greatest? Bible says, God says, the greatest of these is love. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him. Isn't that great? Look at the rest of it. We love him because he first loved us. And what love that is. That's the power of the cross. The persuasive power of suffering love. What a force love is. I'm not talking about puppy love, and I'm not talking about this stuff that the worldly calls love, which is more selfish sexual gratification. That isn't love, that's selfishness. True love, Bible love, love that's enduring and everlasting. Love is the greatest force in this world. And when that love suffers for another, its power, its potency just doesn't know any bounds. It's hard to understand how far-reaching and how deep its power. The world understands a little bit about this. You have those that go around and try to have their way by blowing up things and by force and all of that. But you know what they have to be careful of? You probably heard it before. They kill somebody in a way that makes him a martyr, and people will love him. Now, they don't always fully understand why that is, but there's the power of love. Martyrdom, they have to be careful, they have to be afraid of that. Because some of the people that have been most hated, you make them a martyr and the world will just evolve to them because they suffered so much and gave so up so much because of what they believed in or their love for somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? The force and the power of love. The Apostle Peter, remember, he was ambunctious, sort of hot-tempered, quick on the trigger. Jesus loved him. One of the ways that love was manifest, he says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Now, that's love. Tell somebody the truth. How many understand that? You can cover it up and lie to them. That isn't love. But you have enough intestinal fortitude and you think enough of somebody to tell them the truth, even though you may suffer for it. That's love, isn't it? Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, Lord, everybody else may turn you down, but not me. Jesus said before the rooster crows 3 times. One place said, you'll deny me. Another one says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And that man that was so ambunctious, that thought he was so contained, denied his Lord. What had the Lord done against him? Nothing. But you've been with the Lord. He finally to convince them, even cursed. I don't know him, and let out a few curses. And Jesus looked. Peter wept, the Bible says. He knew what he'd done to somebody that loved him, the power of love. Judas had held the purse strings, and he loved his money. Oh, I'll get the little head around here. How much you give me if I tell you who he is? 30 pieces of silver. Oh, I'll make a little profit out of this. And he got his 30 pieces of silver. Thus betrayed the only man, that the God-man, that never had done one wrong to anybody. He'd seen him bring hope to those that were dying. He's seen him bring hope to those who were lame. He's seen him raise the dead and weep at the graveside. A man that had compassion for all that was about him. And the Bible says the man who went about doing good wherever he was. And he took 30 pieces of silver to betray him. And when he finished, the power of love, the power of suffering love, Judas couldn't live with himself anymore. Judas went out and hung himself. I can't face it anymore. What power the early church preached Jesus and him crucified? What was the story that led them and guided them? 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins. He died in your place. He died in my place. Man that didn't have to die. Man that didn't need to die, except we made the need for him by our ungodliness, our sinfulness. He died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and he rose again the 3rd day according to the scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas, and then the 12, and then 500, and so on. He's alive. Jesus is alive. The man who died is alive. 1 Corinthians 2:1-2, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the driving force of the early apostles and the preachers and the early church that left their homes and left their homelands and went out into places that never been before to tell others, Jesus loves you. Jesus died in your place. Jesus died that you need not die. You that are sick, you that are heavy burdened, you that don't know where to turn, You that are in darkness and can't see where you're going, Jesus died for you. Jesus wants you to see. Jesus wants you to live. And he died on that cruel, ignominious cross that you might live. After doing so much good, healing the sick, raising the dead, healing the maimed and walked, then came the darkening days. Enemies just couldn't stand it. They had never seen a man like this. And you know, you put a good man beside a bad man and it'll make him feel bad every time. He just don't know how to cope with it. The only way he can make himself feel good is to get himself surrounded by others like him. And if he finds somebody that surmounts him and towers above him, it bothers him. And so we got to get rid of this man. It's worrying us. How can we kill him? Well, Jesus let them do it. Notice how I said that Jesus let them do it. They didn't take him by force and destroy him. Jesus said, I could call 10,000 of my angels and they could just wipe them out right now. You talk about restrained power. Why didn't he use that power? There wasn't any persuasive power in that. He couldn't lead the world. He couldn't change the world. He couldn't change the worship day. He couldn't change mankind and make them good and better by using his power and say, you've got to do it or else. I'll wipe you out if you don't. That doesn't change them. I can only try to imagine that day. They took my Lord and whipped him. He was already so beaten and so fatigued, he wasn't able to hardly walk and he had to carry a cross. He finally fell under it. The Son of Man that said, let there be, and it came into existence. You talk about restrained power. The man that upholds the world by his power, the word of his power, and he's walking on it and burdened and bowing under the burden of the cross, and finally they take him out and nail him to that cross while they jeer and cry, humiliated, naked on the cross before all of that jeering crowd. Let him now save himself. Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're crucifying the only one that can save them. They don't realize they're crucifying the only one that can keep them out of hell. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as it were, God turned his face from that scene. Oh, what a horrible scene. Darkness covered the earth. Jesus had to die in your place and die in mine. Why? Because he loved us so. Persuasive power of suffering love. When they had done all they could in the Roman army with this great power, couldn't keep him in the grave. He triumphantly came forth. He appeared to many, witnessed, eyewitnesses. Is it you, Lord? Thomas, go ahead, feel it. Look at it. Feel it. I'm Jesus. I'm alive. I died for the sins of the world. Is it any wonder that they was so boiling over with enthusiasm to tell the world about it? This was unlike any man that ever been around. This was unlike any leader that they had ever seen. They had seen leaders to destroy and kill and slaughter. This man is out to love and to save. No wonder Paul said, I would know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What image, what mental image do you form when you talk about power? Some jet and its multi-tons taking off of the ground, is that power? Well, a thunderstorm has more power than that. Atomic bomb? Power of our government? Is that what you see and think of when you think of power? Would you have looked at the defeated, dying Jesus and said, there's the most powerful person on earth? Not then you wouldn't have, would you? That Jesus died for you and me. Love that was willing to suffer. Why did he? Why was he willing to be put to death? Why was he willing to condescend, take upon himself the form of flesh, to know pain, grow up from a little baby? Why did he do it all? Because he loved God, so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He did it to achieve his purpose. Matthew 26, 47. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, the great multitude of swords and clubs, came to the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whoever I kiss, he's the one, seize him. Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. I read that, always think of a fellow in Pittsburgh that had an expression I never forgot. He said, if I can't have your love, I don't want your kisses. You know, it has a lot in it. Jesus could have said to Judas, if I don't have your love, I don't want your kisses. Judas went up and kissed him. Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Ow! Well, Jesus got bad troubles now. He surely can't spend time with little affairs like this, can he? Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. All those who take the sword will perish of the sword. Man still don't comprehend what that means. Do you think that I cannot pray to my Father and He'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitude, if you come out against us as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me, I sat daily with you teaching the temple. You didn't seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. That's why he died. He had a purpose. God had a purpose. God loved you and me. There was a problem, boy, to illustrate this, try to get us to understand the persuasive power, suffering love. He had a little dog, his pet dog. Parents wanted so much for him to be good. Just seemed that nothing that they could do had much influence on their son. They'd kept him after school, took away his liberties, made him stay in his room, denied him money, denied his favorite food, severely punished him. All of this to try to get through to him, to soften his heart and persuade him that he ought to be a good boy. Nothing seemed to get through to him. One summer day, that boy they just couldn't do much with was out with his pet dog trying to teach him to do some certain trick. Day was hot. Dog just hadn't got a hold of it yet. Boy was getting impatient. Boy tried and tried and finally said, "You dumb thing," and took his thumb and kicked him. "Just can't teach anything." Kicked him in the mouth. Mouth, blood was running from that dog's mouth. Dog puzzled. Turned around, struggled on to his hind legs, and set up with his paws up, trying to do as his little boy had asked him to do. The boy walked over to him, got near to him. The dog reached out and licked his hand with his blood-stained tongue. The boy broke down crying. He ran into mother, mother, mother. "I've done an awful thing. I so hurt the very dog that I loved." It was that suffering love that brought that hardened heart, that little boy, to his knees and got him to understand the power of suffering love. Philippians 2:5-11. "Let this mind be in you which was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Friend and brother, all of us, our knees are going to bow to him one day. Is it going to be in response to that love or contrary to it? "Every knee should bow of those things in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue," that includes yours, friend, that includes yours, erring brother, "every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father." Back in the turn of the century, down in Texas, school was having problems. Parents just couldn't keep a teacher. There were some big boys in it, and one was a big bully boy. No one could do anything with him. He was known for his bulliness and thievery. They tried to get somebody to come in and try it again, teach for them. A man applied for the job, said, "I'd like to try," after they had told him what a problem they'd had. He said, "All right, we'll hire you, but you know what you're getting into." First day, the school was all assembled before him. He said, "Students, I can't be everywhere and watch everything you're doing. And we're going to have some rules to go by here, and I want you to help make them." The big bully that was known for his thievery spoke up. He says, "Teacher, I got one. Anybody caught stealing give him 15 lashes on the bare back. Probably no one, if they caught him, would be able to do that to him, and he could humiliate others if they were caught. There's a little poor boy in the school. The bully said, somebody stole my lunch. Teacher endeavored to find out who did it. Little poor boy Johnny finally admitted, he said, teacher, I did it. But you know the rules, Johnny. You know that we have to have rules here, and it means that we're going to have to give you 15 lashes on the bare back. Why did you do it? He says, my mother's dead. My daddy's sick and unable to go to work. And I didn't have any supper last night. We didn't have anything to eat. I didn't have anything to fix. Daddy couldn't fix me anything to bring to school to eat today, but I wanted to come to school so bad. I told him I'll go anyhow. Johnny, I'm going to have to punish you, he said, teacher, but please don't make me take off my shirt. Had on an old, misfit, tattered, and torn coat fastened with a pin. We're going to have to take off your shirt. Yet, please don't make me take off my shirt. They unfastened his coat and took it off, and he didn't have a shirt on. Johnny, where's your shirt? Said, I don't have one. Daddy isn't able to get me one. But I wanted to come to school anyway, and I wore this old tattered coat that Dad fixed up for me. Teacher says, we're going to have to punish you. Bend over. Teacher raised her hand and began, and Willie, the big bully, got up and walked up to the teacher, said, teacher, I know he stole my lunch. Tears streaming down his cheek, he says, let me take his stripes for him. Friend, if you're outside of Jesus, you ought to be tickled to death that Jesus stepped in and said, let me die in his place. Let me die in your place that you can live. I love you so much. I know what hell is. I prepared it for the devil and his angels. I know how horrible it is. You don't. I know you don't know how horrible it is, but I don't want you to go there. I died that you can live. Please, won't you come to Jesus today? He died for you. Jesus said, if you believe in me, turn away from that sinful life. Repent. Let your tongue confess that most beautiful name of Jesus. Be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of sin. Have you done his part? Is that pretty much for you to do? For someone who loved you so much? An erring Christian, if you've been playing around Christianity and he died for you and you're bringing reproach upon him, won't you please come back? Why would you turn away from such a love as that? Why would you bring reproach upon it? Why would you count it cheap? Repent and ask God to forgive you and say, for a love like that, I'll be true to it till I die. We're singing this invitation. It's heaven's invitation. It's love's invitation. It's the invitation of Jesus. Come, Father, together.